Be seated. The title of our message today is Our Three Worlds. Three Worlds. And our text is from 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 18. Because my message is a little long, I'm not going to read all the scripture today, but it's going to come out of this text. First of all, Peter is writing to the beloved, friends in Christ. In fact, in the very first verse, he says, those with pure minds. This means he is writing to sincere believers. What does Peter want to remind us of? He wants us to be mindful of the words spoken of the prophets and of the apostles. The Old Testament prophets wrote about the coming of Christ to establish his kingdom. And in verse 3, it says this, know this first. These are the last days. Isn't that something? Here Peter is talking and saying, these are the last days. Everybody's been saying, these are the last days for quite a while now. Well, as we go through this, we'll find out what that means. These are the last days, and they will continue into the great tribulation. It speaks of scoffers. Scoffers. I think last week or the week before, I don't know when it was, I spoke about scoffers. Scoffers are those who are false teachers, who do not believe in the deity of Christ, and they do not believe in the coming of Christ. There will be many that speak of that, as there are many false teachers speaking of it today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, that there is a veil over their minds. But if their heart turns to God, the veil will be removed. The problem is the heart. God wants us to believe in him with all of our heart. He wants you to believe in him with all of your heart. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We are to believe in him with all of our heart. In fact, we are commanded to do that. In Matthew 22, verse 37, it says, and this is a command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In the book of Mark, I think it's 12:20, he says, with all your strength. We are to love the Lord our God with our total being. Not just a halfway part. Not where we just give a little bit here and there. Maybe we just come on Sunday and that's it. No, he wants us to love him completely with our entire being. Jesus tells us he will come again. He said that in John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. We are not to be troubled. In today's times, we could get so troubled with what's happening around us. But what is Jesus saying? Let not your heart be troubled. We are to listen to what God says. Listen to Christ, what Christ, our Lord and Savior, says. Do we believe him? It says, let not your heart be troubled. We are to rest in God, knowing he is in control. That's a powerful lesson for all of us to learn. Peter goes on to explain now the three worlds. The world that was, the present world, and the world of the future. In 2 Peter chapter 3. In verses 5 and 6 it says, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." The world that was flooded in Noah's day. There was a water judgment upon the earth. That was a water judgment. It perished with all the people except for Noah, and all of his family. Man needs to realize he's a sinner. He's lost. And that God has provided the way for him to be redeemed. God's provided the way for man to be redeemed. And the way is Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way for us to come to the Father and to have peace with God. Now we come to the present world in our text. And this is in verse 7. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." It says that the earth is stored up with fire. God is not going to rain down fire from heaven. But the earth carries its own judgment. It has its own fire. The nuclear age, the atomic bomb. Water destroyed the world that was. And fire will destroy this present world. That is what the Word of God says. Fire is going to destroy this present world. The earth carries its own judgment, the judgment of fire. President Eisenhower many years ago said this, "Without a moral regeneration throughout the world, there is no hope. For us, as we are going to disappear one day in the dust of an atomic explosion." What foresight. Years ago, he said that. Only God, only faith in Christ, our great God and Savior, gives us morals. We can see throughout many people today act without morals. We can see it all around us. It takes God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to give us morals. To know what's right and what's wrong. Not all agree with this, but I believe the Word of God says this. That the rapture will come next. Then there will be 7 years of great tribulation and 1,000-year reign of the millennial kingdom. But if the rapture took place tomorrow, it could be then 1,000 years before the judgment of fire. Because the millennial kingdom, it says in Revelation chapter 20, lasts for 20 years. Or lasts for 1,000 years, rather. 1,000 years. No one knows. But verse 7, which I just read, says, "Reserved for fire until the day of judgment of ungodly men." When is the judgment of ungodly men in Scripture? Well, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, it talks about the great white throne judgment. That is the judgment of ungodly men. And that is when the judgment of fire will take place. The great white throne judgment takes place just before eternity. The present world does have fire within. In verse 3 and 9 of 2 Peter, it says this, "But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack." Another word for that would be impatient. "Concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is patient. He's more patient than us. We have been waiting for over 2,000 years for Christ to return. Just as it says in Peter here. These are the last days. They've been the last days for a long time. To him, 1,000 years is as a day. And it says that in Psalm 90, verse 4 also. God is giving an opportunity to repent and turn to him. Let me ask you this. If you were in charge of creating the world, if you were in charge of destroying the world, or if you were in charge of redeeming the world, which of these would you take the longest time in doing? Creating, destroying, or redeeming? Would you wait so there would be more time for redeeming, so less would perish? That is what God is doing. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is one thing that can change our hearts and our minds and our lives. It is by the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit and faith in Jesus Christ that people are born again. It's not of ourselves. It's of God. It's a gift of God. As it says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are we saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he planned beforehand. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. We cannot keep God from loving us. Did you know that? You cannot keep God from loving you. But you can reject his love. But we cannot keep him from loving us. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And it says in 1 John 2, 2 that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He died for everyone. In 1 Corinthians 13, 7, we read, love endures all things. And the God of love has endured quite a bit. And in 1 John 4, 8, it says, God is love. Now in 1 John 5, 8, it says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is a God of love. There is no darkness whatsoever in God. But if we reject God and Christ, we are not born again. God wants us to be saved. He does not want any to perish. In 2 Peter 3:10, we read, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt away with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, speaking of the judgment of fire. Nothing will be as it is. It will all be cleansed by fire. The day of the Lord will come when no one expects it. There will be a great noise, it says. Could that be an explosion? We don't know. But then in verse 11 it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and in godliness? What kind of people should we be? Well, Peter says, with what's happened and with what's going to happen, we should be getting out God's word to people. We should be sharing God's word with others. We are not to judge other pastors or other Christians, but we are to get out the word of God to all people. So how are you doing at getting out God's word? We go on in verse 12, and it says, looking for and hasting on to the coming of the day of God, wherever the heavens being burned on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. If you look in the Greek, it says melt with fervent heat means to be wasted away, wasting away, which could be similar to radiation. We don't know. But things can waste away after a nuclear explosion and radiation. But eternity, described in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, is coming. And that's the future world. It says in 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first and the heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. This will take place after the fire judgment. Not all agree, but I want you to know what I believe Scripture says. That there will be a rapture next. The rapture will take place next. Then there will be 7 years of great tribulation, 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom, the fire judgment, and a great white throne judgment. And then eternity begins. I believe we can look at Scripture and see that that's the plan that God has. But nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth where dwells righteousness. Righteousness does not live here right now, but will in the new earth. The new earth will be characterized by righteousness. We are only made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ and will be clothed with the robe of righteousness, which we read in our call to worship this morning in Isaiah 61:10. Peter goes on now in these next four verses from 14 through 18, giving us instructions to believers on how to live. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. So that's our first thing we're to do. We're to be diligent, to be found blameless, without spot. We are only blameless through the blood of Jesus Christ. As it says in Revelation 1:5, unto Him that loved us and washed our sins clean by His blood. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He atoned for all of our sins. He washed them clean by His blood. We are righteous in Him, not in ourselves. We can only live for God with the blood of Jesus cleansing us and the help of the Holy Spirit as we walk each and every day. Our peace with God is a result of our being justified by faith. And I love that verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, which says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are reconciled to God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us. The patience of our Lord is salvation. The reason He hasn't come back yet is for salvation for those who do not know Him. The patience in delaying Christ's return is providing an opportunity for people to be saved and for people to be a part of the family of God. And not only be a part of the family of God, but to grow in that family, grow, to realize what that means. God is in heaven today. Things are not right in this world, but He's going to make them right someday. He's going to make them right. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. It says, know this. Know this. That false teachers are coming. Don't be a lazy Christian, not reading the Word of God, so we can know. There is no easy way. You know, that's man's flesh is always looking for the easy way. There's no easy way. We're to read God's Word. If you have knowledge of the Scripture and apply it, you will be secure. You will be a secure Christian and not influenced by false teachers. It's so very important that we need the Word of God and we need to be assured of what it says for us. And we need to be assured of our home in heaven. Verse 18 is a verse that when I pray each morning or each Sunday morning, I carry part of this verse in my prayer. It says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now and forevermore." This is a command for us to grow in the Word. It says, "But grow." The secret of life and Christian living is growing in the knowledge of God and in Christ Jesus. That's the secret of life in Christian living. To grow in knowledge of the Father and of the Son. Jesus prayed in John 17, 3. His prayer was this, "And this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent." Jesus' prayer for us in eternal life is to know the Father and Jesus Christ. He says it so plain. This is eternal life. This is what we hold on to. The more we know them, the more secure we are, the more blessed we are. Peter loved Jesus. He obeyed Him as Lord, loved Him as Savior, and worshiped Him as the anointed Son of the living God. We are to love Jesus. We are to obey Him as Lord, love Him as Savior, and worship Him as God. Only as we spend time with Christ Jesus and He is revealed to us in His Word, can we grow in the knowledge of Him. We need to be with Him. We need to put on Christ each and every day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise You and thank You for this Word that Peter has given to us and that You have given to us about the world that was and how it was flooded with water and perished. About the world that we live in and how it's going to be burned in the judgment of fire. But also about the world that is to come, our eternity. And Father, we thank You and praise You, God, for this precious Word. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have been slow in having Christ return so that we can come to know and grow in Jesus Christ and in You. And in others we know it can also come and grow in You. We thank You, Heavenly Father, and we pray, God, as You give us divine opportunities as they come our way, that You will allow us to take advantage with the help of the Holy Spirit of those opportunities You give us, sharing Your Word with others. God, we pray that You'd be with us. We pray that Jesus Christ would be with us in the Holy Spirit. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.